It's a trap.
Hello and welcome to episode number 95 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray.
So Wave 12 and 13 hype is in full effect right now. The Wave just released last week, and we finally got these ships on the table and got a little experience playing around with all the new stuff.
Yeah, Tim and I have been playing all the Imperial options this week, but we did get to play against some of the other stuff too, so we'll hopefully try to discuss as much as we can cover.
Yeah, so today we'll do some hands-on impressions of these new ships and share some of our initial thoughts. So it's no secret that both Carson and I were very excited about the Imperial options coming in Waves 12 and 13, the TIE Silencer with Kylo Ren, and then the Alpha-class Starwing, giving some new ordnance and cannon options for the Imperial faction.
Right, and so I put together a list that used all of those ships, two of the Starwings and one of the new TIE Silencers.
To start off, we use the 46-point Kylo Ren that we were talking about in last week's episode. That's Kylo Ren with Push the Limit, Advanced Sensors, Prime Thrusters, First Order Vanguard Title, and Auto Thrusters.
Right, and then I paired this with two of the Assault Loadout Starwings. So this was two new pilots, so the Pilot Skill 2 version with the Assault configuration, as well as long-range scanners, linked battery. And then one of them had a heavy laser cannon and the other had a mangler cannon.
And in honor of The Last Jedi coming out tomorrow, we might as well start by talking about our hands-on impressions with Kylo Ren. A lot of our initial thoughts were quite true. This ship has some excellent mobility and it is really fun to fly.
Yeah, I mean, the combination of Push the Limit, Advanced Sensors, Prime Thrusters, and that amazing dial is really a lot of fun as far as positioning goes.
Well, in any opportunity where you have the pilot skill advantage and you're moving after your opponent, this ship is really excellent at responding to those opponents' positions and reacting actively, being able to advance sensors boosts and or barrel rolls, push off of those, and then still perform green maneuvers to clear that stress immediately.
Yeah, I mean, there's really kind of too many possibilities for where your one maneuver might land. That it was kind of difficult even for me to think about. Usually when you're stressed, you don't think you have repositioning options, but Prime Thrusters really adds a whole new dimension to the repositioner.
Prime Thrusters, of course, comes in this expansion, and it is a one-point small ship only tech upgrade that reads, stress tokens do not prevent you from performing boost or barrel roll actions unless you have three or more stress tokens. Yeah, and this was definitely a card that really impressed me, I think more so than I expected. I thought it would be a nice option there, but there were a lot of circumstances where I found my Kylo in a less than fortunate position, maybe with a stress token, because I had to perform my actions after I moved, where if my Kylo wasn't the main target, I wasn't so worried about getting that focus token defensively. So I felt really comfortable doing that advanced sensors barrel roll, even though I was stressed because Prime Thrusters allowed me to do it, and then performing that green maneuver to clear the stress and get ready for some advanced sensors shenanigans on the following turn.
Right. It also meant that things like debris fields or doing those red maneuvers were not really out of the question, and didn't leave you too exposed. One thing, though, about Kylo is, yes, you can maneuver wherever you want, but you have to work still pretty hard to avoid damage with just that one focus token on defense and auto thrusters. For a ship that costs half your list, you really want to make sure you're protecting it.
Yeah, even if we compare it to kind of a classic X-Wing staple like Corran Horn with Push the Limit, where you can get that defensive token stacking of both a focus and an evade token, and Corran, of course, has regeneration with R2-D2, he feels a lot more defensible, whereas Kylo feels like a very killable ship if your opponent wants to focus in on him.
Yeah, absolutely. Kylo, of course, has more repositioning options than Corran Horn does, but does not have that long game sustainability. I mean, with the 6 hit points and the First Order Vanguard title, you do have some resiliency at the start of the game, but as the game wears on, it becomes harder and harder, I think, to keep Kylo alive, unless you are able to quickly remove your opponent's ships.
You do have some strong deterrence, though, in this build to keep damage away from Kylo. Of course, Kylo Ren's native ability to deal out the I'll show you the dark side condition where you can choose a pilot crit, and then when that ship who received the condition takes a crit, they take that pilot crit instead, dealing out potential damage cockpits for pilot skill 0 or blinded pilots. This actually works really well in combination with that Alpha class Starwing we brought. One of them had a Mangler cannon, so if we dealt out the Kylo Ren condition, we could then trigger that condition later, likely with that Alpha class Starwing's Mangler cannon.
All right, so I do have a pretty good Kylo Ren story on that. So I was in a Kylo Ren mirror match, which, you know, should have seen coming on that first week. I did have a little bid of 1 point, so I was able to pass initiative, meaning not only did my Kylo Ren activate last, being able to reposition against the other Kylo, but in the combat exchange, his Kylo shot at mine first, allowing me to trigger the pilot ability and then have the opportunity to trigger the I'll show you the dark side, trying to make his a pilot skill 0. And I was able to pull that off. I mean, obviously, you want to set it up where you're not getting shot back at all. That's ideal. But it does matter in situations where you're not able to set that up. So I was able to trigger that. Only took 1 damage. Trigger, I'll show you the dark side to try and make him pilot skill 0. But then on the following turn, he just happened to land a natural damage cockpit. And so we had 2 pilot skill 0 Kylo Rens running around for quite a while. It was rather silly. I felt really clever being able to pull that off, and then fate just leveled the playing field.
Well, and with just 2 shields on the TIE silencer, it doesn't take a whole lot of damage before those crits start being relevant on their own. So you're really dependent on avoiding that damage there. The First Order Vanguard title, though, helps you feel pretty comfortable defensively having the option there to discard that title at any time to reroll all your defense dice if you get a really bad roll.
Yeah, absolutely. I thought First Order Vanguard was a very important upgrade. I always felt really safe while I had it up and active. And then once you use that get out of jail free card, then it's a very different mindset. Like, okay, got to always have defensive tokens. Always make sure there's not too many ships shooting at me at once, which in an environment with wide firing arcs and turreted ships is not always easy.
Well, and on the front end of that First Order Vanguard title, of course, when attacking, if the defender is the only ship in your firing arc at range 1 to 3, you may reroll 1 attack die. This actually triggered maybe a little bit more than I expected, though it's still pretty hard to pull off given the restriction there that there can only be that 1 ship in your firing arc.
Right. I mean, so you can't have any of your ships in your firing arc and any other of your opponent's ships in your arc. But I think with how mobile the TIE silencer is, I think you can set this up. I was surprised, honestly, on how much I was able to trigger it. I mean, it makes like, okay, I'll just boost ahead, get that better shot for like get the 4th die. And then if you're able to pass other ships, then you get that free mod.
Yeah, that actually did come up in one of my games, too, where I was trying to decide, do I want to boost in to get the extra attack die or just take a target lock? And then I realized if I boosted in, I was going to clear other ships out of my firing arc, so I'd get the inherent reroll, and that was actually super relevant. I was able to destroy that ship that round.
Right, so I honestly liked how that mechanic worked. I thought it was a fun little mini game for me to think about on top of all the other positioning challenges that Kylo Ren presented.
There are some setbacks, though, to using Kylo Ren still. He is a very expensive ship. He's probably going to comprise a huge portion of your list if you're using him in the mid-40 point range. And still, even with auto thrusters, I think he's fairly susceptible to turrets. He's just a single arc ship, so as soon as he stops getting ships in arc and has to turn around, those ships with turrets like Twin Laser Turret or Auto Blaster start to gain an advantage.
Absolutely, and only having that 1 focus token means any sustained fire is really going to add up. And, you know, speaking to his point cost, when he does go down, you feel way behind. That's half your list that just got destroyed. And if you're not in a position where you're already winning, it's going to be pretty difficult to come back from that loss. So, Tim, after trying Kylo, did you think you liked how that build worked? Or are there some other variations you want to try?
It's hard to say. I think this build works pretty efficiently. It is really expensive for me, and I think this first list we were trying out in combination with the Alpha Class Starwings felt more like experimentation. I don't think I'm necessarily going to stick with it through regional season. We just really want to get a lot of the new stuff out on the table, and this was a good way to experience a lot of what Waves 12 and 13 are bringing. I'm interested to look at some pilot skill 11 variants because I feel like Kylo is really going to suffer if he's not the last ship moving during the activation phase, because he does take damage and he can't get out position because he's just got that single firing arc. So I'm interested in looking at some even simpler builds where you just go fire control system and veteran instincts. try those out and see if those fit a little bit better.
Yeah, as much as I did think Prime Thrusters was a really great value for that ship, I am really curious to try out the threat tracker on Kylo. I think that seems like a very powerful upgrade, and I want to see how that works on the table.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. First off, we're ready to announce our winners for the December raffle. This month, we're giving away a Kornhorn alt art promo card, as well as a Ketsu Onyo alt art promo card. Winning the Kornhorn card is Sean Garnwriter from California, and winning the Ketsu Onyo card is Chris Rosalie from Ohio. Congratulations, guys, and thank you for supporting the show. We also wanted to talk quick about some changes that have been made to the Patreon donation platform. Recently, Patreon made a change to their payment processing to reduce the amount of fees paid by content creators and increase the amount of fees paid by patrons who are supporting those content creators. Neither Carson and I were really happy with the system they decided on. It's increasing the amount you guys have to pay. So right now we're working on reducing the dollar amounts for our pledge tiers so that the actual final amount that you guys are going to pay for supporting our podcast will be more in line with what we intended. We'll be looking to make those changes here in the next couple weeks so that they should go into effect before the December pledges are processed. A huge thank you to everyone who stuck through the Patreon campaign. It enables us to make this show week to week, and we really appreciate all the donations there. If you are interested in becoming a patron of Radio TCX, please go to patreon.com/radiotcx and become a supporter of the show today. We really do appreciate it. And now, back to the cast.
All right, Tim. So we also flew a lot of Alpha Class Star Wings. How did you feel about how the gunboats did?
Yeah, this is probably the ship I'm more excited about than Kylo. This ship is really strong. We just tried out the assault configuration, so the title granting you a couple cannon slots. And we used Mangler and heavy laser cannons. So
let me tell you, though, not enough cannon slots. My one complaint with this ship is I need a third cannon slot on it.
With the combination of cannons we chose to, we weren't benefiting from the secondary ability of the assault loadout where you can still fire your cannon if you have a weapons disabled token, since that's restricted just to cannons that cost two or fewer squad points. But even still, these ships were very potent and actually surprisingly survivable.
Yeah, and maybe it's just I'm really good at rolling two green dice, but my opponents were often pretty frustrated with how survivable these things were. I mean, in the late game, they'll still go down, but that initial exchange, it's hard to drop one of the Star Wings before it has the chance to slam away with a few hit points remaining.
Well, and it's no surprise that heavy laser cannon is really good. It is actually a pretty good choice, I think, on this chassis, too, for how survivable they are with their 7 hit points total and 2 agility dice. That, in combination with some rerolls either from long-range scanner or linked battery, make it a pretty good way to deal out damage effectively in the first couple rounds.
Absolutely, and with cannon ships and even the other munition variants, these ships want to be exchanging at range 3. Where when you're using your secondary weapons, you're denying your opponent their range 3 defense bonus while still hopefully getting that on your end. So 3 green dice backing up 7 hit points is pretty substantial.
And I think we have to say that the linked battery cannon upgrade is spectacular. This, of course, is the 2-point cannon upgrade that's small ship only that reads, when attacking with a primary weapon or cannon secondary weapon, you may reroll 1 attack die.
Yeah, I would say from the games I've played so far, linked battery has been the MVP. Just that one reroll a shot really adds up. And I think it works great, particularly in combination with the long range scanners.
Yeah, long range scanners, of course, the 0-point modification that's only available to ships with the torpedo and missile upgrade icons on their upgrade bar. You can acquire target locks on ships at range 3 and beyond. You cannot acquire target locks on ships at range 1 to 2. So it seems kind of weird because these are both ways to reroll attack dice, and obviously you can't reroll any attack die more than one time during the modification step, but it gives you some nice options there. So really early on in the game, basically round 1, I can take that long-range scanner's target lock on one of my opponent's ships that I want to set up shots for. Then later on when I start shooting, I have the option there. If I need to reroll multiple attack dice, I can always just spend the target lock, but if I just hit those scenarios where I just have to reroll 1 to get a blank modified, I had that linked battery option. I could keep my long range scanner's target lock for later.
Yeah, and then if you still switch targets, you still have a linked battery plus a focus token for modification. Works out pretty well.
I think one thing to keep in mind with these ships, though, is, like you said, Carson, they really do want to try and keep range there to maximize how efficient they are, especially if you're using heavy laser cannon, which has that range 2-3 limitation. Once you get into range 1, they're really going to start taking a lot of damage and not be able to push out as much damage as they could.
Absolutely. I mean, it's not trivial, though, that the linked battery also works on your primary. So when you are at range 1, your attack back is not terrible. So if they weren't able to finish you off at range 1, your shot back is still decent. But yeah, range 1's not where you want to be. So really, you want to take that range 3 exchange, hit them heavy with the cannon, and then just try and slam past the range 1 exchange. What I think is important when considering, well, it's 2 more points with linked battery. I already put in a lot of points for heavy laser cannon or mangler cannon. You really need modifications to get value out of those cannons. And so I think it's definitely worth it to pay the 2 more points to make sure you get the linked battery to make sure those cannons you paid points for hit.
One thing we do need to talk about, Carson, is how surprisingly survivable these ships ended up being. They lasted a lot longer than I thought they would in combat.
Right. So because you don't need to take that target lock action during a combat turn because you took it in the initial turn, and then after that, you're just taking focus tokens or running away with slam. That means you really have pretty decent modification on your defense roll. And because we are running the lower pilot skill versions, most of the time you're using that focus token on defense and still had plenty modification on offense back with the battery.
And if you got to keep the focus token, like you didn't get shot at, then it was all the better. You had that much more modification for your cannon shots.
Yeah, I'm still not sure if they are really resilient or if I was just really good at rolling paint with those 2 green die.
We'll have to get a little bit more practice in until then. One thing I did think that lended to their survivability is that slam action. Slam, of course, is a really powerful action in the game. It is great on the K-Wing, and it's really great on the Alpha Class Starwing, which has an even better dial. And it affords you the opportunity to, when times get tough, you can just start slamming away. So maybe rock out a 3 straight or 3 bank, followed by a 3 bank or 3 hard turn, just to try and get your ship out of the scrum and then swing around for a later turn to start shooting again.
And that's why I don't think that, like, say, taking 3 or 4 of the Starwings is probably your best approach. I think you want a mixed ship list so that when you are in those turns where you're disengaging, you have another ship that can optimize the situation.
Well, and another benefit of the Alpha Class Starwing being relatively inexpensive and having the slam action there is that it's a really great blocking ship. I found myself in a couple situations as I was playing where I would get an Alpha Class Starwing that would take a bunch of damage in one round, had 1 hit point left, wasn't likely going to be able to survive to shoot the following round. So I just used the myriad of options I have on my dial to set up a really great slam block against one of my opponent's ships, limit their action economy and mobility, and then follow that up with shots from my Kylo Ren and remaining Alpha Class.
Yeah, I think with the slam option, these things have just about as many maneuvering options to think about as the advanced sensor push the limit Kylo Ren does. I think there was usually a correct spot for these ships to be in, and I think I got there only 2/3 of the time. Definitely still learning on where to position them, and sometimes taking more time and patience to set up that proper exchange, because they have a really optimal range at which they thrive and then not so much in the close quarters.
So we both tried this Kylo Ren and then 2 new squadron Starwing lists, but Karst, you also experimented a little bit with the next step up in Starwings, the Row squadrons. Could you tell us a little bit about some of the differences you experienced with that build?
Yeah, well, I mean, the Row squadrons are pretty well positioned in case I got paired against you flying the news.
I assume that was the main reason that you took them, because you knew I'd be flying the pilot skill 2s, so you just wanted to one-up me there. Thankfully, we didn't have to play each other the other night, so that was good for me.
Right. No, the main reason to take the Rose is getting access to Crackshot, which may or may not be my favorite upgrade card. It's really close with Heavy Laser Cannon, and I get both of them with the Rose. So it's a pretty significant price jump. 3 more points for the Rose, plus the extra point for Crackshot. When you're doing that, I like Heavy Laser Cannon a lot more. And of course, you can't afford a Kylo Ren in this build, so you don't need to worry about triggering. I'll show you the dark side. But wow, that's some pretty good damage output. I mean, this is a lot like the Scum Aggressors, Heavy Laser Cannon with Crackshot and a lot of rerolling of die.
Yeah, I think maybe the one thing I kind of was missing out on these Starwings was access to Advanced Slam. I really didn't have the points in my list, and that also means I'd have to end up sacrificing long-range scanners, which I don't know would be the best choice there if you're shooting for maximum offensive modification. But at the same time, it would have been really nice to have access to a focus token after I did my slam action to just keep my alpha class Star Wings alive a little bit longer.
Yeah, and there I think you're thinking about them like a Miranda. I think the goal with these things is to win before they have to run away. And so just front load damage. And here, that's where I think Crackshot does push them kind of to another tier. They're significantly more expensive and they die just as easily as the Pod Skill 2 versions, but you do have quite a bit more damage output and you're able to really alpha strike some ships off. The trick, though, is what other ship do you pair them with? There's a lot of options in kind of the 36 point range for Imperials. I mean, you could have a Missile Quick Draw, an Engine Vader, Inquisitor. I went with a Colonel Vessery, so not really the ace option, but kind of doubling down on the damage side. I went with a TIE D Vessery with a Score the Settle. I wish I got another crack shot on there, but didn't quite have the points for it. Tractor beaming a ship, hitting them with Colonel Vessery, and then following up with two Rogue Squadron's heavy laser cannons. That's some substantial damage.
Yeah, and that tractor beam is really good against a lot of ships that are popular right now. Obviously, ships like Captain Nim have just that one agility die, so if you take that away and then follow it up with three heavily modified attacks, that Nim's not going to last very long.
Right, I had opponents spending evade tokens to dodge the tractor beam, and that just felt great, because that means they didn't have those evade tokens for later when I was hitting them with actual damage. But I think there's still a lot to explore in the partnering with those two bros. But I thought they worked pretty well, and I'd definitely try the Vessery build again. I think I'd also want to try a Missile Quick Draw is probably the other place I'll experiment with next.
Yeah, so I think we're both really impressed right now with the Star Wings. Going to try and work over the next couple weeks to figure out what the ideal build is for these ships, but right now the Assault Loadout Heavy Laser Cannon combo seems pretty good.
Right. I mean, they still don't like other alpha lists that have them beat a pilot skill. And turrets are not great, just because when they slam away, they are probably still in range of turrets. But a lot of turrets also don't like being hit by two heavy laser cannons.
So that's a nice balancing point.
All right, so now we're going to try and cover some of the other stuff. Most of what I saw people playing were the Imperial new toys, but we did get a face, one Kima Gila. It was okay.
Yeah, now having played against a Kima Gila, some of my suspicions about that ship have kind of come to fruition. I think it is very difficult to get that bullseye firing arc to land. It works pretty well as a deterrent. It was something I definitely had to keep in mind as I was planning my maneuvers out, thinking, all right, if this Kima Gila moves forward, where's that going to put its bullseye firing arc? I want to make sure I don't end up in there so I lose the ability to spend my defensive tokens. At the same time, it's really only the width of a range ruler, and that's a pretty narrow margin there. And I think it's going to be one of those ships where it really is going to take a lot of practice to use it effectively, but if someone can kind of crack the code there and consistently line up that bullseye firing arc, it's going to be really, really powerful.
Right. I think the best part about the Kima Gila is that reload action, just because this isn't the most threatening ship in a list often. With scum options, there's a lot of really scary things you can put in there, like Captain Nim, where your opponents are going to try and burn those ships down first. So your Kima Gila can fire its missile and then have the time to be able to reload and fire the second one. And let me tell you, if the first Harpoon missile doesn't finish you off, the second one probably will. I didn't face any of the Phantom 2s. I did see some of them around, and I know that's kind of where you want to experiment next, Tim.
Yeah, so right now the trick is finding out what kind of Rebel synergy list you want to work with right now. I'm definitely looking at using an AP5 in combination with a Ghost to get a lot of action efficiency for the Ghost, thanks to that coordinate action on the Phantom 2. But right now I'm trying to figure out where to fit those points and what to pair along with. I think I'm going to test out this week probably an Advanced Optics Poe Dameron and see if I can fit a pretty stripped down Ghost and AP5 in there. And I'll report back to you guys once I get some practice in with that build.
Well, I mean, Advanced Optics, Poe's pretty excited about that as well.
We also had the opportunity to face off against a Captain Nim using the new Trajectory Simulator. Trajectory Simulator, of course, is a new system upgrade that allows you to launch bombs instead of dropping them. Launching, of course, being putting the five straight template out the front guides and then placing a bomb at the end of that. And it was pretty oppressive.
Yeah, it was not fun.
It's definitely a strong mechanic. Having to think about where one bomb might be placed is hard enough. Now having to think about multiple bomb positions at very disparate locations makes it really hard to plan your maneuver.
Right. Basically, if you're in the scenario where the firing arc of Nim is pointed right at you and you're setting your dial, you're really only safe options to avoid a bomb, because you can either launch it straight at you or drop it behind you, is to kind of turn around and present your back to Nim for some free shots with no exchange, which is not really where you want to be, or just take the bomblet damage as well as whatever normal damage Nim's dealing, which is also not where you want to be.
Yeah, I think Trajectory Simulator, especially on Captain Nim, kind of highlights exactly how strong and, dare I say, overpowered bombing has become, because Bomblet Generator is already so strong. Its ability to deal out not only regular damage but crits. I actually ended up taking a direct hit and a blinded pilot from a single bomblet onto my Kylo in one game, which felt pretty terrible. And now that you can throw those bombs forward and you have an infinite supply of them, it just is not particularly fun to play against. It definitely is a very strong mechanic, and I expect to see a lot more of it in the future unless we get any more errata changes.
Yeah, though I will say Nim doesn't like heavy laser cannons being shot at him. So as long as you can keep those gunboats alive and able to shoot back, you can be okay. But it is a little trickier with launch. So that might be something you need to account for Nim more. And maybe Punishers. Maybe you need to watch out for Punishers, too. Who knows?
Well, yeah, I don't want to judge Trajectory Simulator too harshly. I do kind of want to see it on other non-Captain Nim ships to see if really is the Trajectory Simulator the problem, or is it just that Nim is such a strong chassis on his own? I guess that remains to be seen. We'll definitely, I think we'll see some Captain Nims showing up at a lot of regionals this season. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and like our Facebook page. And while you're there, you might as well leave us a 5-star review. That's really appreciated on the Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please consider going on to iTunes and leaving us a 5-star review, along with a comment saying what you like about the show and why other people might be interested in listening. It's a really great way to reach a wider audience, and we really appreciate all the reviews that people have left for us.
This week, we'll give a shout out to Theut, who thought that the podcast was a great resource to improve his gameplay quickly. Thank you, Theut.
And a huge thank you to everyone else who has left us a review. It really does mean a lot to us.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/radioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week. It's a trap.